Welcome to episode 2 of the Depression Diaries. Today, I want to talk about how I cope with my depression, the ins and outs of my daily routine, and how I go about each day. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be right back with that. So this is the beginning of how do I cope with the Depression Diaries. Currently, I'm coping with coffee. So far, this morning has been a pretty good day. I'm not in a lot of pain, so therefore my psyche is in a pretty decent place. I don't feel like the sky is falling today. But I want to talk about, you know, kind of the average day, which is going to be, you know, boring, of course, to most people, but this is, you know, something that I'm doing for me. I want to get it off of my chest, so to speak. I usually wake up in the mornings as early as I can get myself out of bed. I try not to sleep in too long. I usually get myself some coffee. I listen to some podcasts about, you know, the news, sports, listen to some gaming podcasts, and then once I've had my fill of that, I drink my coffee and I think about everything. My mind wanders all over the place and often goes to places that it shouldn't, and it's unhealthy to go to. I wish that I had, you know, healthier ways of dealing, you know, with the issues that I have, but unfortunately, I do not at this time, or at least I have not discovered them. I've only ever admitted my depression to maybe 2 people. And it took a lot for me to make those admissions. My hope is that, you know, one day I'll be able to talk freely about it, and doing this podcast is one step in that direction. But I'm not even ready for, you know, the small number of people who do end up listening to this. I'm not even ready for them to hear my name, I don't think. So it is my hope that by talking about this, that this will sort of turn into, you know, auditory therapy for me. Well, so as to the rest of my day, I'm going to just lay it right out there. I tend to cope by, I read a lot. I throw myself into different things that I can manage, like maybe playing guitar, or maybe some light yoga or light workouts, depending on how my chest is that day. I usually ends writhing in pain somewhat, and then I feel useless, and then I feel useless again, and but usually I'm happier for having tried something. But then the elephant in the room is that I cope with my pain largely by playing video games. It makes up just an obscene amount of my time. And I truly do mean that, an obscene amount of my time. I'm embarrassed to even say this to the dead air. It's not that there's anything wrong with playing video games, and there isn't. It's a form of entertainment like anything else. But excess is a problem. We're supposed to moderate our hobbies and the various things that we engage with. And when it comes to that outlet, I do not, because it is the only escape that it's one of the few escapes that I have right now. And it has been for at least 4 years. In the beginning, video games, they were a mild passion of mine from the time I was a little kid. I loved the stories and I loved the stories that they presented, the challenges, the puzzles. All of those things were a delight to me as a child, and they served as an escape from the drudgery of university work when I was in college. And when I got married and after we had our daughter, it became, something that I would do, staying up late with the baby or just in moments here and there when we had downtime. But as my pain became debilitating, I leaned more and more onto that crutch, which is what video games are for me. They are a crutch, and I am grateful for that to some degree. I've just started to question how much I should be engaging with with gaming as a coping mechanism. I know that there are healthier ways to deal with my pain, deal with my feelings of depression and anxiety. I know that the answer isn't always to pick up a controller. But for me, it is hard to do anything else. It is hard for me to find solace in either my family or friends, because I feel like a burden to them, even though they haven't made me feel that way. It's just that when I'm in pain, I don't want to see their looks of pity, but I also don't want to see their indifference either. It's an impossible logical conundrum to solve for them and for me as well, because whether they, whether they pretend it's not there or whether they, fawn all over me and tell me how much they love me, I'm equally frustrated, and that's not their fault, it's mine. It's me being stupid and difficult, which I'm totally self-aware of that. I know that it's selfish to have those conflicting feelings. Unfortunately, it's difficult to solve them. I feel as if I started this out of a desire for community, maybe finding other people that were going through similar ordeals And I am hoping that if anyone listening to this hears this and wants to reach out, feel free to send me a voice message on Anchor or, again, Anchor Podcast. You can send me a voice message or just make a comment with your information if you ever you want to have a conversation. There's only one friend that I have that I'm able to speak to openly about the things that I'm going through. Well, let me amend that. There are a couple of friends that I've shared this with, but that feels like I'm putting too much on them to talk about this with. So what I usually do is when I'm having these feelings, I will, I'll pick up a controller. I will, and just escape into a virtual reality for as long as it takes to not feel that way anymore. It doesn't rarely work. Usually when I come out of a marathon gaming session, I usually feel every bit as empty as I did beforehand. I feel drained and as if I've hurt the people that I loved even more because I haven't spent time with them. I've spent time with a machine and a screen. I'm not sure how to remedy that situation. I've tried quite a few different things to try and get myself involved with healthier hobbies and healthier activities. But the issue is that my health doesn't really allow me to hike or run or play tennis like I used to. I used to be into everything physically. I would work out, I would run, play basketball and tennis and hike all over creation and enjoy the beautiful gift that is the outdoors. I still try to do that as much as possible when I am feeling well and whole, which is few and far between these days, unfortunately. I feel like my state of mind gets worse and worse as time goes on and my body declines, which, I'm getting older, so even a healthy person at this point, even a person with no debilitating chronic pain, or so even a person with no chronic pain or physical ailment, would still be declining at this point somewhat. Obviously that's a bit of a dramatic look at that, a bit of a dramatic take on aging. It's a natural process, but the difference is, for me, I feel like I'm at an age where I should not be declining as fast as I am, as quickly as I am. I feel like I should still be able to, train for marathons and still be able to get out and, play tennis and basketball and whatever the case may be. I'm hoping that at some point, I will be cured of all of the things that ail me, so that I will be able to do those things again on a regular basis. I hope that other people dealing with this same issue, I'd be interested to hear how other people with chronic pain cope with it, what they do. And again, you know, coupled with your coupled with depression, if anyone has any advice on, you know, ways to deal with that, you know, self-care, as it were, I'd love to hear it. Those are things that I'm extremely interested in. So we talked last time about the effects that my depression and my pain has on the people around me. I'm going to expand some more on that. I found it easy in the beginning to, you know, lean on the people that I loved, because I thought that this was just something temporary that I was going through, that this wouldn't be forever. But now, unfortunately, I find that it is forever. I was eventually told by a surgeon that the way that my bones and muscles grew together in my chest is going to cause, you know, pretty much constant inflammation, and therefore will cause me pain until the day I die. He said that there's no way that they currently know of to treat that issue, and so that is where I currently find myself. That is where I'm still at 4 years later. And it took about a year. It took roughly a year to get that diagnosis. I'm sitting here now with my coffee, trying to figure out how to have a productive day and still be able to fulfill my obligations and duties today. I have a child, as I mentioned before. We have a household and a wife and a daughter to care for. My wife has a 9-to-5 job, but it's quite stressful, and you know, my view is that while I'm going through this and while I'm home, my hope is to do as much of the household stuff that I can possibly do, whether it be chores, laundry, you know, cooking, cleaning, all of those things. You know, I try to take care of. It's just that more often than not, I end up on the floor in pain, and end up unable to complete any of that. So I end up being of no use, and I struggle with that, because I don't understand the point of me being here if I can't be of any use to my family. And I still have yet to really answer that question. I do know that, you know, on a theoretical level, all life is precious. I get that. But why, you know, what makes my life worth it? What makes my life precious, and what makes my life worth all the trouble, that others have to go through to preserve it? And that is what I'm currently particularly on bad days, trying to answer. I appreciate all of I appreciate all of you listening. I know that hearing me ramble on for you know, half an hour to an hour has got to be somewhat painful. But again, this is quite, I think that this will be quite cathartic for me. In this segment, I want to talk about my other favorite way of coping, the way that I feel. It's sports. Oh boy. Man, do I love sports. Like, so much. I'm a huge Arsenal fan. Most of my sports watching, I watch soccer. I watch a lot of soccer. I wake up early in the morning on Saturdays to make sure I catch all of the Premier League games in England, much to the chagrin of my family. Sorry, guys. But I absolutely love the sport. I have loved it since college, and I just fell in love with it back then, and have loved it more and more every day ever since, especially since all of this has been, you know, going on inside my head. It makes a great escape. I usually flee towards it when things are not going so well. I love soccer for a lot of reasons. And this is the first time I've ever admitted this, but I think one of the reasons I like it so much is that here in the United States, there aren't very many people who enjoy it quite on the level that I do. So I think to some degree, the tiny, tiny introvert inside of me appreciates that. I think that knowing that most people are not going to be engaged in a conversation about soccer, I know that it's a conversation ender. I know that it's something that can just set me apart from people again. Which, to anyone listening to this internationally, of course you would find that idea absurd, because everyone loves the sport outside of the United States. But here, not so much. It's definitely growing. Listen to a lot of American-made soccer podcasts, so the fan base is definitely there. I have a few friends that I chat with about the sport, and about I've got a friend of mine, a fellow Arsenal supporter. We get depressed together on game days. We commiserate, which is fun, you know. But anyway, I love it. I love they call it the beautiful game for a reason. It is poetry in motion at its best. I absolutely love it. It's, 11 guys on a team. You're working together to, passing and moving and trying to, endeavor to, score a goal, and, they have to attack in in concert and in unison together. They have to defend in unison. They have to everything Everyone has to be in tune with their teammates in order for things to go well in that sport. That's something that I love about soccer so much. It's so collective. It's not based on what you can do by yourself, although there are some wonderful individual players, of course. But my favorite thing about soccer is the fact that it is a collective sport. I like that the fans play such a huge role. The atmosphere. In my early days of being a supporter, I noticed the similarities between the atmosphere of a soccer match and like a college football game. The passion is very similar. but I love the stories of, you know, I love the stories of the players themselves. You know, there was a recent one about, I believe his name is Ansu Fati, from Guinea-Bissau. I hope I'm saying that right. But he recently got his first game with Barcelona for the senior team. He was recruited into their academy after being watched, you know, kicking a ball made of rags. Didn't have an actual ball. It was a ball that they took old, crusty, dirty rags and stretched them and, you know, just made layer and layer until they had a facsimile of a ball. And, you know, he had nothing growing up, him and his parents. They put everything they could into, you know, sacrificed everything they could into him being able to learn. And his hard work has paid off in dividends. He got his first call up to the senior team at 16 years old. So I love stories like that. They inspire me. You know, they inspire me because I think, you know, he was in a worse situation than I'm in now. Well, he has his health, but he was in a worse situation. And overall, though, I mean, than I am now. Surely, hopefully, one day, I can succeed. I can get over, you know, what I'm going through, and eventually push on and make something of myself. And that is still a hope for me. And so, I feel like I need those things in order to keep going. And I hope that all of us have something like that. You know, I know that everyone has their passions. But the hope is that your passions also inspire you. really want to take a moment to thank everybody for listening to the show. Again, please feel free to send me a voice message. Please feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, please feel free to shoot me an email or however you wish to communicate. I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts. I'd love to hear what I'd really like to hear about this week is I'd like to hear about your coping mechanisms. I'd really like to hear about the things that inspire you out of the deepest, darkest corners of your mind. I'd love to hear what inspires you, what makes you, what gives you hope for the future. You know, please feel free to leave that in a comment or, like I said, in a voice message. Thanks again so much for listening today. I will be back soon with episode 3. The format of the show will probably change week to week. I'm looking at bringing some guests in, which is like a daunting task for me personally because I don't even want to admit who I am right now openly. I feel like the only people I can be honest with are people that don't know me at all. I'm hoping that will change. Maybe I will have like a stroke of bravery and be able to say, hey, this is me. This is, you know, who I am and, you know, all of that good stuff. But for right now, this is where I'm at. So again, thanks for listening. I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful day. Thanks again so much.